You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
Welcome to another edition of Comedio Gogo's podcast, Public Access. Once again, this is Larry.
This is Regan.
And this is Jess.
And we are happy campers, Regan, to be talking about what today?
Three topics today. Topic number one is tell us about a popular rumor or myth that you thought was true but ended up being false. Topic number two is tell us your best or worst experience with organized sports. And topic number three, be honest, everybody, what distracts you the most while driving?
And if it's not listening to the Public Access podcast, you can go fur yourself. Go eat at furs and get diarrhea. All right. And we are pleased as punch to have back on the podcast after, I lost count. I think Travis, this is your second?
Third.
Third. And then Carlos, this is your fifth. Oh, Five Timers Club.
Well, there's a point for you.
There we go. A point for you with point. Winner number one, Travis Quepp, wearing a Get the Hell Out shirt.
It's pretty sweet.
Yeah. And then point for being most, I don't know, experienced as a guest, Carlos Castro. And you get another point for traveling
all the way
out
from
of
New
state.
York.
All the way from New York City.
New York City. So, get a rope.
On the Canadian border. I don't know why he can't make it down here, Mr. Canada.
Yeah. Oh, so RTB, you're getting called out. By Carlos Cancer and Samson Portillo.
Carlos
Cancer. Because he said OMG Cancer. So that's your new name, Carlos Cancer. Because I think you gave... I think you're the one that gave me cancer because you're radioactive from your superpowers and my human body couldn't handle it. So when you gave me a hug...
I did hold you tight.
The hug from the Christmas soldier did it.
Yeah, I think the hug from the Christmas soldier... Wow, point for Travis for that fucking keg reference.
It was a mixture of that corpus air.
Yeah,
probably.
See? Point for Carlos. What? He did...
But that has nothing to do with the podcast. That's
it has everything
experience.
To do with the podcast. Because why? Because I'm the point keeper.
Oh, great. So, all right.
So, Carlos, tell us a little bit about New York and how different it is from San Antonio and how much it sucks.
Well, compared to San Antonio, everywhere I've been to sucks. I love San Antonio. This place loves me, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, man, you're hot.
What are some of the things that you don't like about New York?
Feet of snow. Several feet at a time.
Oh, just too much of it.
Like
way too much
of it. Too many people walking on snow. That means all the feet.
Or feet made out of snow?
Feet made out of snow. Point just for Travis.
Man, you're keeping track of the points.
Yeah, you got the points.
I'm Chris Hardwick, and dude. It doesn't matter.
Points! Points!
Come on, man.
Where is there at least some like fun snow to begin with, and then at some point you just gave up?
My kids love the snow, so whatever I built for them, that was the only thing that was great. But having to shovel it every day, morning,
gets old.
It's back-breaking work.
You don't have a snowblower?
No.
Wow.
Got one.
Exactly.
There. That's all I got.
You got snow snorters. That's probably the most.
It's really hard to clear my driveway of snow with just a machete.
Oh, yeah.
Even the machete? Machete?
Just one daddy Draco.
They're just so hot from you just holding it tight.
Just
like
his
it
anger
turns
while
hot.
He's
the
out
machete's
there.
Like, oh, yeah. It melts the whole snow and actually dries out the grass for some reason. So that's cool. And well, what do you like about it? What are the things that you like about
I love the
New
people
York?
That I work with.
Yeah.
And that's about it. And my neighborhood. I mean, my neighborhood is great. Lots of children there, the same age as my kids.
Yeah, that's
so
great.
They play outside all day.
And how old are your kids?
My kids are 7 and 5 now.
And some of the most badass kid names, their names, please.
Odin and Scarlet.
That is awesome.
I think you should get Odin a point.
Good point for kid name?
Yeah.
I got two kids.
You're giving him points, man.
You're not giving out points. Minus 1 point for Travis.
He gets a point. But he gets a point for being nice to want to give a point.
Okay.
So he gets a point back.
Point back. No, so, okay. A double technical.
Yeah.
Double technical. No, yeah. No free
nice
throws.
Points. Like for millennials.
Gotcha.
It's a safe space.
So, Travis. So, yo. You're San Antonio born and raised. you know, into cancer therapy research centers where you spent most of your days, right? So you're a fellow cancer survivor. Yep. We've talked about this on the podcast before. And you have a child. How old is your child?
She is 21 months this month.
21 months.
Wow. 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 Wow.
Going on two. Just under two. Just under two.
For the doctors are always like, how many months? And it's like, she's almost 2 years. No, how many months?
It doesn't help us. We didn't know exactly how many months.
It's 1 year and... Nine months?
Like, you do the math. I'm paying you to see her.
You're the doctor.
You tell me how old she is. Can't you look at her teeth?
You're holding
something?
The chart. What's wrong with you?
Yeah, look at the circles in her bones, man.
Doesn't it say something on...
Can't you read palms? What's wrong with you?
Yeah, come on. Dr. Feet.
And they come back. They're like, you're the dad. You're supposed to know. It's like, I slept last night.
Come on. Leave me alone.
It's the wife that got up.
Take care of this thing.
At least I'm around. Yeah. Point for both of you guys for being around with children.
Right there.
Yeah, exactly. Just... Not tonight, moms. So, Ed, what is your lovely daughter's name?
Elena.
And what superhero character is she named after?
She's not named after anybody. Okay, but everybody thinks that she's named after Elena of Avalor.
Oh, wow. But you would.
But my daughter was first, damn it.
Yeah, Elena of Avalor is named after your daughter.
Exactly.
Exactly. Just not Mexican. And on TV.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why did they give the Mexican princess a television show as opposed to a movie? That's what I want to know.
Because she sticks around longer.
Ooh, very good. I was thinking because she works every day and she's going to get underpaid.
Yeah, probably.
And she would get bootlegged if it was an actual movie. Let's just be serious. So you guys are super fanboys and we got gifts. Okay, so since they're viewable gifts, Travis, let's start with yours and please explain. So, Jess, what did Travis bring you?
Travis gave me a horror minifig representing the lovable Edward Scissorhands. Very, very cool looking. I like this series. They're not bad. These are great.
Yeah, and there's a story, you say, huh? So why does Jess Castro get...
So they're all kind of loosely based off of each of y'all. It has a little bit of a public access reference. So Jess likes... a lot of cool, crazy things. Edward Scissorhands is a pretty cool, crazy guy. He's got scissor hands, and Jess is like the editing as the editing master.
Oh, nice. Oh, I thought you were going to make fun of his arm legs.
I thought it was the arm legs.
No, but he also has a propensity to replace limbs with other things, which I like. Look out for arms from Nintendo Switch. It's my dream come true.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, it's crazy shit for arms. I'm like, shit, was this like game... It's meant for me.
Chipping the brain.
Yeah, exactly. Chipping so, yes, I appreciate that. And I didn't even think about the cutting aspect of it.
Yeah, that's very, really very cool. Sweet. That's really a point for you. All right. Now, Regan, what did he get you?
I got the fly.
Baxter Stockman.
No, this is, I guess you could tell me.
I can't see.
I'm saying that it's the fly. I might be wrong according to Larry.
It's definitely the fly. Yeah. It's the fly. Because it's from the horror.
It's like 1950s fly or 60s fly.
Yeah. No, it's badass, one. Yeah. So explain.
So it's the fly. Regan is an anthropologist.
Yes, anthropologist.
Also, whenever I was on last for the last fanboy homework challenge, Regan had the question of the promiscuous fruit flies, so it ties in there even more. Look at him, fuck.
Yeah. So, Robert Loggia. Robert Loggia was in his lab coat.
He got a little bit too close to his experiment, and now he's part of it.
Yeah. Oh, and now he's a half.
Yeah, it was fun.
So there you go.
And I see you brought a fellow guest. Point for you for bringing a point for a guest. Carlos, what are you holding up?
I'm holding the yellow jacket.
Right, from the Ant-Man villain Marvel stuff.
Right.
All right, so explain the yellow jacket and its significance.
Yellow jacket is...
on our podcast.
For corny, stupid shit, I'm actually an INTP in a stupid kind of personality test thing.
Is that like a juggalo?
And so I'm actually... What?
Is that a juggalo? Oh, it's ICP. Sorry, go ahead.
So in the character Marvel Universe, I'm actually Ant-Man. Uh-huh. And so it's kind of like Carlos is my fanboy rival. And Yellow Jacket is obviously Ant-Man's fanboy rival. Wow. But at the same time, Yellow Jacket, I don't care what anybody says, is a fucking badass. I mean, look at how awesome that suit is. He's strong as hell, just like Carlos. So it matches a little bit right there.
Wow. Very nice. Okay. And then mine is Predator. It is... The Predator, which I saw one time.
Yeah, you haven't seen
at
part
my
two.
Party. I've never seen part two.
Okay, face. Now it's up to get yours.
I ain't got time to plead. And as you can see, Predator has Vagidentitis. So explain to me why Predator is my gift.
So Predator is kind of a mix of things. Number one, you just said you've only seen Predator like one time.
At and my
you
birthday.
Owned it.
Mm-hmm.
You owned it for such a long time.
Like 10 years. Yeah,
and never saw it. Uh-uh. So it was one of those things that he was going to be there to remind you to watch it again.
Wow. And it's half Wolverine?
Yeah, half Wolverine.
Well,
you know,
that's his
like,
Predator claw.
Constant half chub.
Gotcha.
So, and then also he's kind of like a mix of horror and stuff like that too. Yeah. And since you're into horror and not so much into sci-fi, but he can fall into that genre.
I love
it. He's a good mix for you too.
Thank you very much. And I do have a few of these that I don't have Predator, which is really awesome. And he has dreadlocks, which is cool with me because I really like the band Korn. All right, so we are going to move on to Carlos's gift, right? Now,
yeah.
Now, Carlos, explain what you got for us.
Well, what you have in front of you is the Series 17 of Lego minifigs. There are several.
That's short for figures.
Yeah.
Not the fruit.
Yeah, exactly. All right, figs. All right.
And in front of you, there's two packets that you can open right now. Hopefully, there won't be duplicates. If not, we can trade out.
All right. All right, Jess. So you go first.
I'll go first.
All right, here we go. All right. Now, remember, if it's homemade, Jess doesn't like it.
He already didn't like it.
I do like these.
But no, earlier today, before we started.
What I did say is I think Series 17 is not as strong as the previous two.
Wow. What series did he say that get? When someone buys you a gift? I don't, but apparently Jess does.
We were talking about Legos. We're nerding out on Legos. And
apparently Jess doesn't like these Legos
That's
already.
Not even true.
Without even opening them because of their Series 17.
That's not true at all whatsoever. Fig number one.
Yeah, I've already pre-opened.
It's got a cape. I do know that. And so it is, I don't know what to call this guy. Like, I guess like a Martian man. Like almost like a retro 50s space movie man.
Set him up. And Regan, I know we got two, so we'll make two rounds.
All right. All right. I'm opening the first one. It's the person with the hot dog.
Yeah.
It's a dude with a hot dog in
the
shake.
Oh, look at that, Jess. How about you do that?
It's a guy with a hot dog in the shake.
Oh, sweet. That's totally Regan.
Yeah.
You gotta shake it for that wiener then, huh?
Yeah. Oh, it's a hot dog vendor. They're like, get your hot dogs, because he's got...
He's also the hot dog eater. I don't care what you say.
Okay. That's freaking cool.
Now, did you bring any for Travis?
I sure
did.
Yes.
He brought some for you.
He did.
Points for bringing it for the guest. And is that She-Hulk or Shaka Khan?
I think it's like, you know...
It's number 14.
Number 14, guys. That's right. He got number 14 here in the series.
I knew her name.
Lego
early.
Series. Which is, it looks
Let's
like
physical.
An 80s workout girl.
Exactly.
So Herbalife in the 80s,
and
was Slim Fast.
It's one of those things Carlos was kind of mentioning that you don't choose your minifig. Your minifig chooses you.
Yeah.
And my
he's
ass
calling
is
you a mini fag is what he's doing. Yeah. Yeah. He's saying, Carlos, wow, man, that's not an appropriate
so
thing.
I'll take the camera for you, but here's the Martian man. Wow. It's all its glory. It's pretty sweet.
And Jess hates it.
No, it's like a Flash Gordon type of guy. I like this one.
All right, here we go. Here's mine. Going to open up my minifig. I can't wait to see it. I'm going to love it.
Oh, shit.
I just skittled.
You blew your load.
How can you be bad at that?
I skittled. I have cancer. Views. All right, there we go, right there.
Champagne in it.
All right, there's a sword. Oh, there's a long-haired.
You got essentially a Zelda. You got an elf princess.
Yeah, I got some shit from fucking Game of Thrones. As I like to call it, Game of Bones. That's number 15. Thank you very much, Carlos. Now, Jess.
All right.
What about number two?
Fig number two. I already got it open. Let's find out what's inside. Let me open it a little bit more. I don't want to skittles it either, which I always do. You know what I mean? Champagning it.
That's right. Episode 136.
Preview porning.
I got Strongman.
Nice. Yeah. Look, he got excited. He got you. He got you as Lego figure, Carlos.
I did get Carlos. I got the Strongman. He's the old-timey strongman, and he comes with
a
fucking mustache, which is
gotta go down
goddamn amazing.
Yeah, stupid. Do you even Lego, bro?
I don't.
He does. He's I super really Legos. Do.
Yeah, I know, but he didn't know to put the mustache on first.
Maybe he hasn't been Legoing this whole time.
So points for teaching the Lego master how to Lego? All right. Now, Reagan?
I got,
number two.
Which at first I was going to say it was Namor, the sea...
The Submariner.
The Submariner. Because it has a trident.
Right.
But it's actually a gladiator.
Oh,
with a trident. But I'm just going to still say it's.
And we got. Look. And Carlos actually has the double figs of what we just were discussing, the strongman and Submariner, Little Mermaid's dad. Oh, and I brought Carlos, and I get a point, a copy of Big Mama God and the Hazel Eyed Monster available anywhere I'm sold. All right.
That's right.
So,
buy it now. Yeah, listen nice. Now. Get it now.
I love him. He's great. That's got Carlos. It.
All right. And the final gift, the final Lego gift that we're going to open is Predator! Already? Okay. All right. Here we go. And I got the Strongman, too!
Yeah! Yeah!
We got three Strongmen because you know why? We're three Strongmen.
It's awesome how
hosting this podcast.
The dupes worked out in our favor.
That's right. Right. Yeah. We like the dupes. I'm down with the dupes. The
dupes super dupes? Dupes
yeah.
Hazard.
Super dupes. So both
dupes
you guys.
Of hazard.
Both you guys get duplicate points. That's right. All double right. points yes. for that.
Wait, that's, double points?
Yeah, double points of what they currently have.
Okay,
so obviously you've been keeping track. Oh, and then there it is.
I just want to say, just because I got one and you didn't, Travis, doesn't mean he loves you more. Ooh. Or less.
Well, no. You see, I already ordered mine back in November.
Damn!
Oh, you got the full extended pack.
Did you just get one?
No.
Oh.
I got the whole thing.
Oh, all right. Oh my that's gosh. Cool.
All right, tie. We got a tie. So, guys, it's I am pleased as punch. I don't know about Justin Regan.
I'm super pleased.
I'm super happy.
And I'm very happy.
And I'm super stoked.
Jess
and,
is like, all right.
No, I love this. And then Lisa's going to love him, too. So Lisa appreciates it already, even before she sees this.
Andy's going to be pissed off because she's going to step on him. but when isn't she pissed off, right? Am I right? So, Travis, thank you so much for these wonderful gifts.
You're welcome.
We love them, and even though they may have been ones you're like, nah, I don't want these. Let me just give it to
them. He gave us his dupes.
They were not dupes.
He's like, how am I going to correlate these dupes?
These are special for you.
You get
a piece
points.
Of me for you.
I would give dupes, but I appreciate it. It's the thought that counts. You get a point. And then, Carlos, thank you for giving us the bag without even opening them. So, you know what? If they're your dupes, they're your dupes, but they're not your dupes, then you know
he's
what?
He's like, I wanted half
so
of
you're
these.
Hating on me like Jess hates on everybody else's gifts.
I don't hate on people's gifts.
No, I'm not hating on your gifts because I actually appreciate mine. But yours...
I know you appreciate it.
I do appreciate
I really like
but
mine.
But they're very clever with...
Yeah. Once I saw it, I was like, I know it. I get it.
Jess editing... Yeah,
that's pretty sweet.
That one gave him half a chub. You could tell that right there. Even though Jess probably already has that one
on the table.
And then Regan with the friggin' being an amphipomologist was perfect. And you know he had Predator left. So let me just give it to Larry.
Jesus I appreciate. Christ.
And Carlos,
you fucking right, baby.
What? No, I've only seen Predator once. It's not one. Okay. And so thank you very much, Carlos, for bringing us the Lego figures unopened and opening it for Poppy Chulo so you get extra point for that. And I can't wait for this podcast because I don't have to give backstory to anything because you listen to every episode and just doesn't have to edit that shit out. So I'm really looking forward to it. Thank you guys so much. It's going to be really exciting. So, Jess, what do we got going on?
Hey, everybody, it's time for another exciting edition of my segment, the segment that I like to call, yeah, I'm gonna look into that. It's a segment where I talk about the latest in movies and video games, and hopefully the enthusiastic reaction of friends and listeners after hearing about said junk is going to be, yeah, I'm gonna look into that. So, this week, briefly, we are going to talk about the upcoming Electronic Expo 3.
That was only two E's. I think you just said Electronic Expo.
Yeah, what? Something like that. E3's coming up.
Yeah!
Boo. They show I want the latest, that 30.
They show the latest in games. They show the latest in what's coming up, the new systems, the new games, the new developments and everything. And this year's E3 inspires. I'm going to jump up right with the topic. And the topic is, tell us about a rumor or a myth that you heard about that you were hoping is true or maybe you thought was going to be true but ended up being false. And the reason why I bring up this topic is because E3, year after year, continuously has rumors coming up to the game show. There's always going to be what sequel is being hidden, what giant reveals are going to be this year from Nintendo. The big thing is there going to be a Pokemon game on the Switch? Is there going to be Smash Brothers on the Switch? Bethesda has a new space game coming out. Is there going to be an open world Star Wars? Is the Xbox Scorpio going to be blah, blah, blah? So it's just a bunch of rumors and speculations and buildups that build up until the final event comes out, and then people are left either disappointed or fulfilled because some of those rumors came true. So jumping right into it, let's just talk about rumors and myths that you were hoping that were true, but then they ended up being false. since mine's about gaming, I'll kick it off and start off with the fact that the big thing for gaming that I always thought was going to be true was going to be in Final Fantasy VII, spoiler alert, that the character Aeris, there was a way to revive her when she dies. So in that game, it's a very popular game, and that character, there was a very pivotal death in the storyline. She passes away, she dies, and it seems very unlikely for a mainstream game to kill off a main character. I know that's like a very common thing in every popular culture now with shows like Game of Thrones and Walking Dead, and that being a common thing, your favorite characters, anybody's up for grabs, they're going to get killed. So flashback nearly 20 years ago when one of the main characters in a story gets killed off, it's very shocking. So one of the early rumors at the time was that that's preventable, or it's a way to reverse that fact. There was a way to go down a single storyline that was able to bring her back. So there's my answer. It's a character that I thought would be come back to life, but you didn't. She ends up staying dead.
So mine, my name's Larry. Hey, guys.
Hey, Larry.
Mine is actually not so much with popular culture as it is a myth. And that is going to be the infamous railroad tracks in San Antonio.
That's Texas. A good one.
Yeah, yeah.
I wanted so hard to believe in ghosts. I like scary things. I'm a very spiritual person. And if you guys aren't aware, there's these infamous tracks in San Antonio on the south side. And the myth is that it was a school bus full of children that got hit by a train. And their ghosts, I wouldn't say haunt, but protect that railroad track. And
yeah, because they push you if you're on it. They want to make sure you don't get hit by the train.
Exactly. Yeah. So if you put your car in neutral in front of the tracks, you will get pushed over. And the way to verify this is by putting baby powder mm-hmm. on the trunk of your car, and then you'll see baby fingerprints. And you will. That's true. Absolutely true. And you will get pushed across the tracks. But our friend Capone De Leon,
our could, friend,
longtime
wait,
friend.
Our longtime friend or just friend?
We're fans of Capone De Leon.
We are.
There was a show. I think it might have been on Sci-Fi. I think it may have been on Rendezvous Theater. I'm not 100% sure. But there was a like a MythBusters type of show, ripoff show about these urban legends. So they got Capone De Leon,
who is.
Probably hip-hop producer, they all are, who
was the guy.
If your name's Capone De Leon, yes, they.
Yeah, they. Your average San Antonio vato that called, you know, this station
right,
to show him about the tracks, told him the story.
Because wasn't his title underneath this card, like, local historian?
Oh, was gosh. It?
No.
I don't know. I forgot. I think it might have been hip-hop producer and HVAC repair.
There we go.
And I think Capone De Leon was his real name, but his hip-hop name was HVAC. And so what they did is they had scientists, they had, I guess, geologists, you know, the land levelers, and just straight up just people that just know, you know, landscaping to test out the tracks. And baby powder is, I knew this one, was the oils from your finger when you close the trunk of your car, yeah. Sticking to it. And no one closes their trunk with their full hands, they close it with their fingertips so it looks like little baby fingerprints. So that one was a given. And then I went there as a kid, and I remember thinking, like, oh, this is a downward, this is downhill. It's as simple as that. No, it's not. Look at the tree line, right? All my friends. And I go, if I put a basketball on this street, is it, are the kids trying to save the basketball from getting
yes, kids love basketballs.
Yeah, exactly.
Obviously.
And so, and that goes on to my next topic. So, you know, hint. So, it was the realization when I was a kid that it was bullshit. And then also, thanks to Capone De Leon, it was officially scientifically proven just to be a visual trick of the tree line versus the actual
myth busted.
Yeah, myth busted. It's just, is it geology? Is that the term about just land?
No,
land.
I know what you're talking about. It's like land surveying, but
yeah,
like
land surveying. Yeah, the study of it. Yeah,
didn't construction recently in that area fix that slope? Has it been repaired, or is that effect not a thing anymore? Because it's not sloped anymore.
Wow, one that's a racist term. Two, I'm not 100% sure if that happened. All I know is that there's a softball field far away. So as far as a creep, like a decent distance away, that there's a nice creep factor that you hear kids screaming playing. When they have night games. But it's also not a good neighborhood to be in because, you know, it's kind of fucked up. So that's mine.
Yeah, it's surveying.
Yeah, survey.
I'll jump in. The myth or whatever, the thing that you thought was true, that you hoped would be true, that you hoped to whom personally me hoped it would be true, is this stupid idea that at some point someone came up with called the runner's high.
I am not aware of this myth. Please educate me on what the runner's high is supposed to be.
People say that there's this thing where like, oh, you run and at some point you get the runner's high and you just feel so amazing.
And like endorphins.
Yeah, and like something kicks in to where you just like, man, you just feel so good. Mm-hmm. And that's just, it's crap. That's not a thing.
Yeah.
That is not a thing. It's not a thing. I think it's freaking just some weird thing that people made up to make you think that you should like running for some point. And I don't know when it's supposed to kick in.
Right.
So I don't run a ton. I don't run that much. But I've run tops a little bit over 6 miles. It's not that much compared to like...
But that's a lot. That would be enough, in my opinion, to get a runner's high.
Right, exactly.
Yeah,
I'm like, oh, do I have to run a goddamn half marathon or I have to run a marathon? Because all I'm thinking from step one to till I'm done is this sucks. This sucks. This is terrible. Yeah,
right.
This is horrible. Oh, my God. Is my ankle feeling a little weird? Is that okay? How's my knee? Is that okay?
I should have ate that hot and ready.
Yeah. No, I'm like, I'm glad I ate that hot and ready.
Oh, to carb up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I got the energy now. So I'm like, I have enough energy to run. Like, I'm just like, there's never been a high ever. I've never enjoyed it once.
Mm-hmm.
It's terrible. Running's the worst. And so, yeah, it was really disappointing to at one point just be like, okay, so it's not a thing. Like, it's not.
There's nothing to look forward to.
There is nothing to look forward to.
There is no high.
No, there's something to look forward to. The end.
The end, right?
Yeah. That it's finished. Maybe that's the runner's high.
I did it.
I completed it, and then you get all those endorphins come in, and you jerk off in a porta potty.
Oh, man.
Why would you?
Is that the runner's high?
I think so.
Oh, maybe that's what I've been doing wrong.
The high comes from
the umbros.
The thrill of getting caught.
The thrill of
getting caught. No one's going to catch you in a porta potty. The only second thing is you're going to see the fucking the ding dong in there that has got the fucking the toaster strudel swirl on the turd that's in the porta potty. Welcome to the podcast, everyone, first listeners.
Next railroad tracks, and then you hear the moaning back there, and it's like, oh my God!
Yeah, exactly. What's that guy do? He must have a Charlie horse.
Yeah, I mean, this is something that that a lot of military servers train for, to be able to masturbate in 120-degree weather inside a porta potty while being shot at or murdered trying to just climax before you pass out from the heat exhaustion.
And the fear of death.
That all sounded really hot.
Yeah.
But sexy.
But now that's what you need to climax.
Yeah, it's like I can't get someone put on some gun noises.
Point a gun in my head.
Turn off the AC.
Like you got a Russian roulette to have your second
that's the
shot.
Same thing. That's the equivalent of like the belt, you know.
Yeah. Cornelin.
It's the world's richest man equivalent of running.
There it is.
It's coming,
there it is. That's the only way you can go.
Yeah, that's never happened to me. No such thing as a runner's high.
Runner's high is bullshit.
It is. It is.
Travis Carlos?
Well, sticking to the theme, Mr. Rogers was once upon a time supposed to be this hardcore Marine Corps sniper covered in badass tattoos from his sleeve up. That's why he wore long sleeves.
That was the myth.
That was the myth.
That was the myth. That he was a Vietnam sniper, deadliest with his calm demeanor, just making everybody.
Also,
would you like to be my neighbor?
That is kind of a cool myth, though.
And on top of that, he saved Captain Kangaroo's life. That he served with Captain Kangaroo in the army, and the reason why they were buddies and they were in
Marines.
The reason they were in the public education system is because they fought through fucking hell, and you know, and they survived. And Mr. Rogers saved Captain Kangaroo. And they became buddies, and they both followed the same path of becoming these personalities.
Was Mr. Rogers and Captain Kangaroo at the same time?
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow. So what's the truth?
The truth is that he never served.
He was just a child molester. Just a straight no. child
He's actually
predator,
like a Presbyterian though. Minister.
Yeah, he got into a lot of trouble because he was like, well, what about the gays? He's like, no, you got to love them just the way they are. And everybody got...
Good for him.
The rest of the Christians at that time got super pissed at him because he was way ahead of his time.
Yeah, because he was acting like Jesus.
Yeah, he wanted to love his neighbor. Like,
right. Yeah, exactly.
Love your neighbor
yeah.
as you love yourself.
There's a really cool video clip of him speaking at a senator's or like some kind of a public hearing or some yeah. Senate committee, and it's covering those bases. It's just like how...
Is he dead?
Yeah,
very
he's special right now.
Long time ago.
He taught me English. It was.
Oh wow! Yeah. So Mr.
But sniper, he wasn't.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It definitely had been a meme floating around of the article. Like, oh, why is Mr. Rogers so special? And like a lot of people, this is why I love Mr. Rogers, because of this awesome backstory that he saved Captain Kangaroo. And if it wasn't Captain Kangaroo, it was some other movie star,
Barney
Fife.
Barney Fife. He's a shitty sheriff.
We're getting shelled.
Nice Don Knotts, Carlos.
All right, point for a Don Knotts impression.
God damn it.
All right, so Travis, so when you were at war.
God damn it.
What was it like?
I guess whenever I was at war for my life.
Yeah. With the cancer.
Fighting cancer.
Point for cancer.
Oh, okay. Sympathy.
Yeah. No, that's a freaking empathy points. All right.
Yeah, there you go, man.
All right.
Just talking about stuff like video games brought up a childhood disappointment, and that was whenever I was in band. Yeah, that one time at band camp.
Right. Minus a point for American Pie.
Oh, God.
That came from real life. There's lots of from band camp when I was in band camp stories.
All right, point.
Yeah, I actually...
Point given back.
Thank you. So we were always told, sell these shitty Christmas cards, sell these crappy cardboard pizzas, and you'll get a trip to Disney World.
Right.
Yep.
And for my entire middle school and freshman, like my middle school career, freshman year of high school, I sold those shitty cards with gusto. I went out and I flooded the fucking market where nobody else could get them. I sold those pizzas. I ate those pizzas. And, yeah, it turns out that after our freshman year of high school, our band director left and took all the fucking money. So we didn't get to go to Disney World.
That's a pity point for that one, like, for sure.
Yeah,
that's terrible. Do you know the name of your guy, of the teacher?
Statute of limitations. It's already – he ain't getting
– Okay, cool. What's his name?
Haddad.
Carlos is squinted. I think he might have killed his brothers or something that were in war. What's his full name?
I don't remember his first name. I just remember his
Islamabad.
Last name.
Well, Mr. Haddad, who was a high school music teacher in San Antonio. Fuck you, man.
Yeah, you ran off with all the cash fucking going, starting shit in Florida.
You owe Travis a fucking trip to Disney World, you selfish piece of shit.
Whatever, he's sleeping on a bed of money right now.
Yeah.
Or at least a refund in the form of chocolate bars.
No. Is that 2000?
2003.
Ooh, okay. I thought he might have funded the 9/11 attacks.
Oh, shit.
That would have been deep.
Wow, no, he probably funded ISIS, dude.
No,
because it was
that girl from Bill Miller's?
Fuck.
Yeah, that girl from Bill Miller's my niece.
He's probably listening and be like, that's not the fucking story. I'm going to get sued for slander now.
No, you're not sued for slander because you said nothing bad. My name is Larry Garza. You fucking find me and you sue me, you piece of shit. You fucking get Travis's fucking money back or I'm going to hunt you and I'm going to look at you and I'm going to be like, come on, man.
At the very least, you can give him a refund in the form of charity fundraising popcorn, the colored kind.
Wow.
The vanilla.
colored. Jesus,
Jeff.
Racist
Jeff.
What the fuck is that?
It's 127 all but over again.
Vanilla colored.
Wow,
vanilla
episode 127. Yeah.
White Castle.
White Castle.
White Dog.
Colored popcorn in the sense that
Jesus, slopes and colored popcorn.
It's vanilla flavored,
but it's rainbow colored.
It doesn't end.
Then say it's rainbow colored popcorn.
It doesn't
popcorn.
End.
No, it's colored popcorn.
I love you, Jess.
I love you too. I love my grandpa also.
He's racist too.
He's racist as shit.
I'm not racist. This vanilla popcorn's colored. I'm not going to fucking.
it's prideful popcorn.
Prideful popcorn.
Anyways,
yeah.
You should refund them and us and vanilla rainbow popcorn.
Okay,
and some fucking Mickey Mouse ears. It's supposed to be Disney. Damn it.
That's right. God damn it.
Yeah, god damn it.
What about those Facebooks?
All right, Facebook answers. Sarah Sharp says, "I totally thought Paul from The Wonder Years grew up to be Marilyn Manson."
Right.
Yeah. Then the internet happened. Also, for a while, someone had me believing that Big Trouble in Little China was supposed to be the sequel to Buckaroo Banzai. Also debunked by the internet.
I never heard that.
I never heard that. It's cool. That's an interesting one.
Judson Cooper says Bloody Mary was that that Bloody Mary was effing real, and as long as you're in the girls' bathroom on the west wing of my elementary school, you could summon the most hellish of unrested souls into your life forever. Does anybody do Bloody Mary?
Yes. Yeah, I did Bloody Mary and Candyman. And yeah. None of it's real.
Ooh,
I'll tell you, Jinxin's real because I got the runs because I made a joke about getting the runs at first.
Bloody Mary ain't real, but the donkey lady is. You can call her. Or you used
to be able to call her.
Berto Garcia says, my grandmother used to buy all of these Globe new tabloids. And well into my 20s, I thought that Bat Boy existed.
Yeah.
And the Loch Ness Monster was real, along with aliens visiting the president.
Those are newspapers.
I know.
Have you ever seen Men in Black?
Yeah, they're real periodicals. Yeah. Susie Hamilton said that it's illegal to drive with the lights on in the car. Interesting. Like inside.
Yeah. No, I get it.
I don't know. Either way, some people saying that it isn't legal and our parents are trying to scare us.
Yeah.
Greg Force said, I was one of the poor fools who thought Helen Slater and Christian Slater were actually brother and sister.
They are.
I still think Legend of Billie Jean is a documentary, though. Fair is fair.
Helen Slater and Christian Slater are brother and sister.
What? Dude, he just said they're not. I'm pretty sure he looked it up. Alfred Press says, I used to believe all dinosaurs were reptiles. God bless science.
Okay. Guess some of them are birds.
Yeah, I guess so.
They're boids.
Chickens are our closest dinosaur relatives.
They're delicious.
Nicole Musquiz Gomez, our music quiz Gomez. That song, Hotel California, is about the rock star drug life and not a paranormal experience. Wait, so what is it?
That's the thing. I figured, did they ever break down and say what the lyrical inspiration for that song was? I don't even know.
Sorry, what song?
Hotel California.
Oh, it's not about hell?
That's the popular theory. Is about it was a trip in purgatory, but according to that comment, it's just about the road life and roll rock and roll lifestyle.
No, I think that was the myth. Is that it's about the rock star drug life, but it's not. Well, I don't know, paranormal experience.
Oh,
I'm not sure. Anyway, finally, Matthew Wayne says that there's a Canadian PSA that came out when I was a kid that said that there were North American house hippos throughout Canada and Eastern United States.
What the fuck?
The moral was to teach kids about critical thinking and not believe everything that they watched. I was still sad to find out that there weren't any tiny hippos living in my house. That's brilliant.
RTB, confirm this. Are there actually tiny hippos living out there?
Or did the Canada put out PSAs that just wanted kids to think critically? That's amazing.
Real quick, straight from the mouth of Don Henley. He said that the song was meant to be more of a specific piece about America in general. Lyrically, the song deals with traditional and classical themes of conflict, darkness, and light, good and evil, youth and age, the spiritual versus the secular. I guess you can say it's a song about loss of innocence. Don Henley.
Cop out.
Yeah, it's just a ploy for him to get more money from hotels that have been open for a lot longer than his song.
Exactly, dude. And he's fucking working for the devil, dude.
I guess.
And that's all the Facebook answers.
That's right, Jess.
Well, so there you have it, guys. Confirming rumors, debunking rumors, pissing on rumors, listening to rumors, the Fleetwood Mac album.
Eagles reference, Fleetwood Mac reference. No wonder you're racist.
Oh, but also, I've said it like once before, the first porno tape I ever saw was called Rumors. So with that said, it was called Rumors. It was two scenes in a 60-minute video. The video was called Rumors. It had nothing to do with anything. It just was called that.
Besides the book, that was your education.
It was.
Yeah. Wait, the European spelling or the American spelling?
It was both, funny enough.
I bet
The title on the VHS was spelled the American way. The title on the video was spelled the European way.
Ooh, because you was in it.
Yeah.
That's right. it's a fucking reference.
Yeah.
Okay. With dicks.
Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah. So E3 gaming and pornography. Yeah. We're looking at that.
I'm excited about this one because once again, it's time for another edition of Dad's Corner.
Yay!
We are on Dad's Corner, making dreams come true.
Stop counting coupons and get involved in Daddy's Corner, bitch!
And for the second time in public access history, the dads friggin' outnumber the non-dads.
It is back to back.
No pull-out club in the house.
That's right. No pull-out club in the house. Religious reasons. And, we are fucking...
All three of y'all believe in God.
We are literally in it
to win it, guys. And we love fucking and we love making children. And we are fathers. The three literal motherfuckers in this place. And we're happy and happy to be called. Proof is in
the pudding. Whereas I just have pudding.
Thick.
Thick gelatin laden pudding. Yeah, exactly. Gargle it. And so we just said earlier that, you know, Travis and Carlos and myself have children. And so in this edition of Dad's Cornered, like I always do, get straight to the point. The question is, what is your best or worst experience in organized sports? Reason being is Gunner this summer is going to try out, and it hasn't happened yet. For a team called San Antonio Legacy, which is a youth basketball organization. Gunner has zero to no experience playing actual organized sports, let alone basketball. And I, if you've been listening to the podcast for a long time, I'm a big fan of basketball, not just watching it, but playing it. And I have been called the fat Ray Allen by my friends that I play basketball with, which is the most passive-aggressive compliment I totally accept, because Ray Allen is a hell of a player. I'm just fat. And so I'll take fat Ray Allen all day. I have been compared by my wife to Boris Diaw, if you guys are familiar with the San Antonio Spurs.
Bobo.
Big booty, lanky, flat-footed, looks like he can't play, but for some reason gets a bunch of rebounds, hits a bunch of threes, double-double average.
Like the Sammo Hung of basketball.
Sammo Hung of basketball, I'll take it. Or the Boris Diaw of basketball.
Manny Pacquiao of basketball.
Yeah, exactly. Just a little fucking prince that fucking a bunch of Filipinos worship.
But you totally endorse and love the homosexual community.
Does Pacquiao not?
Oh, he notoriously shot himself in the foot because he made some very horrible comments.
Oh, that's right. And then Mayweather ended up butt fucking him in that fucking fight.
Live.
Live his and people words, paid for it.
Mayweather's words, not his.
Exactly. I'm just quoting Mayweather.
It was he was seeing all. I butt fucked that motherfucker.
I dodged and butt fucked that little retarded Asian. I would have been, wow, Mayweather. Wow.
First off, why would he say that?
I don't know. He's hanging out with Jess, I guess.
I've never hung out with Mayweather.
You would never hang out with Mayweather.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Because he's colored popcorn. Yeah. Jess, you need to fucking cut that shit out, man. People are people. Be like more like Mr. Rogers. And shoot him from far away. So back to my child.
Right.
I took him out literally yesterday to practice at our local neighborhood court, and my poor son, because he has zero experience, you know, even with the little Fiesta Texas mini ball, could not get, you know, even to the rim. And I consider myself a decent coach. I'm like the Popovich for people that have never played basketball ever. Could just teach them, you know, the fundamentals. The
fundamentals, dog.
You know, and essentially aim for the red square. And once I see that you can't reach it, I say try to throw it over the backboard. It's a very easy thing just to figure out how strong you have to shoot it.
That's a lot useful in other situations, too.
So, exactly. Overshoot. Real quick. And you get it in.
So he's how old?
Seven.
Seven. And at seven, do they make them still play on regulation?
That is what I'm going to find out. Because I'm being serious. Okay. Because when I was seven... actually coincidentally also when I started playing basketball.
Okay.
And that picture that we posted on Happy Campers is actually fourth grade, so I was already dunking on bitches. And by dunking, I mean Dunkin' Donuts. Yeah. I was pretty chubby.
Is that before you were published?
Yeah, way before I was published.
Two rebounds.
So back. Thank you for helping me with my transition. So no. I'm thanking you sincerely because I'm worried about it. But thinking back to second grade, I was fucking really bad. But that was the first time I ever scored. This doesn't count as my best memory. But I remember very clearly the first time I scored a basket in the game. It was a toilet bowl shot. I just threw it up and it went around and around and around and around and it made it in. And my mom was like, "Mijo, yeah!"
right? And so it was awesome. So I have a lot of fond memories of basketball, and I'm looking forward to hopefully Gunnar liking it because he gets frustrated really easily. Got very, very frustrated yesterday trying to practice. Didn't make one shot out of all the attempts that we tried. But comparatively to skateboarding, he picked it up after being frustrated many, 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 many times. But now he can skateboard without any help, right? So hopefully he'll have some success playing basketball. And I hope he likes it because I'm not going to be the type of dad just because I like it to force him to like it. So my question, what is the best or worst experience you've had with organized sports? And my best memory, and I've said it before in the podcast, but I'll make it official, was the time that my uncle made fun of me and a drunken mouthful replication of the time. Tell me how you won the game, Mijo.
So your best memory is
what happened.
Or the reason
why he made fun of me.
That's an interesting
because
best memory of sports is your uncle you retell the story.
Well, let me rephrase that. My best and worst memory is the same memory.
Right.
So I just told a story. I was at a little family reunion and I'm starting to play basketball again, you know, try to get my health up. And I remember it clear as day. We were JV at the time. I would rather start JV than bench varsity. That was the choice that I kind of had my junior year of high school because I wanted to play basketball. I didn't really care about being varsity. So it was the stereotypical fantasy that we all do when we're playing in our parking lots is the 5 seconds left. They inbound. Oh, yeah. Blah blah blah. So basically, we were down by one. The other team shoots it. They miss it. My buddy gets a rebound. Outlet pass, fast break, I get it past half court. And it's 1-on-2, right, which is an obvious timeout. You call timeout if you play basketball and you're a coach, 1-on-2, fast break drive, you're not going to make it. You're going to slow down, timeout, and make a play. About 5 seconds left in the game, I look at my coach, and he is frantically, literally jumping up and down. And this is a volunteer basketball coach for an East Side Catholic high school who ordered an 8-piece chicken, which I thought was for us, and ate it all by himself.
Wait, do you remember?
And instead of saying 1-2-3 Royals, he would say, make him say, did he have gold teeth? You fucking better believe he had gold teeth.
Now, I've heard a story. I've heard this story many times, yes. And I've always wondered, and now as we've just been, we're older, do you know what he did for a living?
Absolutely not.
I wish you did.
If I'm not mistaken.
Because I just want to imagine him at his job.
Just like, but to be fair, he didn't have to fucking coach us, you know what I mean?
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like I wanted to imagine his real life and going, you know what I want to do? I want to freaking be
a. He had a job where it was like. He had to dress business casual. I know that for sure. Okay. So it wasn't like he was a Nabisco driver like our varsity basketball player was. Coach David, shout out. He knew his shit, but yeah, he fucking straight up worked for Nabisco. So he used to come in his Nabisco uniform to coach the varsity basketball team, whereas our coach, you know, would come in like, you know, dress pants and a collared shirt, just not a tie. So,
he called the kids playoff.
He absolutely did.
Come on, player.
Like, he goes,
make that outlet pass, player.
Right, like you. It was, oh, man. But if there's anyone you want to be a basketball coach, it's that dude.
Yeah, of course, for sure.
Yeah, exactly,
sure.
As opposed to Coach Garza, who I always got teased was my dad, who worked for Nabisco, that would fucking yell his mustache having ass off if you fucking didn't fucking pass it. Like, anyway. So,
why is your dad so mean,
so man? Outlet pass, past half court, 1-on-2. I look back at him, and Master P is jumping up and down, telling me to call timeout. And I ignore him, and I, you know, go in for the drive, and I get double teamed, and I dribble between my legs, and I fade away, jump shot, swish. And it was 3-2, swish. And the varsity team, who was waiting for our game to end so they could play theirs, rushed me. It was the coolest experience, just like on TV. They rushed me. They jumped on me. We won the game. It was fucking awesome. But, of course, not everything happens like they do in the movies because there was still 1 second left on the clock, and they had to clear the court. The other team inbound. My friend stole it. They fouled him. He made 2 of his free throws, so he ended up winning by 3. So that is my favorite memory. And then the worst memory is being on that high, my uncle being at my grandma's house, drunk as fuck, in his whitey tighties, eating ribs and beans with a mouthful. My mom telling him, Larry won the game. You won the game, Michael. Show me. Show me how you won the game. And I'm like, well, I made the basket. Because I was like, you know, 15. And I'm like, you know, I made the basket. No, show me. Show you how you won the game. Show me. I'm like, okay, well, I dribbled. And then I mime dribbling between my legs. And he goes, and just starts laughing at me.
That's hilarious.
And he says, no, you didn't. So that's.
He's right. He's totally right.
So that's my best and worst memory. So up to you guys. What's up?
That story is great, but like, there's never the coach was never talked about. So that add this extra layer.
Yeah. Afterwards, he goes, "Oh boy, you saw me tell you to call timeout. If you didn't make that shot, this is a quote. He goes, if you would have missed your shot, it would have been your ass. That's a quote.
It's a good coach right there.
Yeah, it is a coach. But I did miss the shot, and that's what got me my varsity spot there.
Nice.
Nice. Yeah, yeah, no, that's splendid.
I'll throw in mine. My best is not that. Maybe I'll just go with worst then.
Well, shoot best if it's not
best
that
interesting. Best is 15 Little League or some, you know, you're at the highest point of a Little League that you can be before you actually start playing high school baseball. But it was just the idea. And I don't even remember the situation, but it was, I know whoever was pitching pissed me off throughout this game. Whoever the pitcher was, he was being a prick or he was being an a-hole or something. He was just pissing me off. And I went up to bat and just like looked at him. And there's just sort of like we knew each other, like, screw you. Like, I think I knew the dude. I don't know why. Yeah. No, I just hated him.
Fucking and God's son.
The thing is, he throws a freaking, fastball. And I freaking just destroyed it. Hit a super just in your face home run, like
home run,
staring,
home run, home run. Oh, that's and dude! I'm just, glad you shared that. That's awesome.
Like, I know I'm 15, and I know looking back, it's not that big of a deal.
It is a huge deal. I was 15,
but the feeling of going like, "What are you thinking?" Boom, gone. Like, what are you going to do? I just hit your goddamn fastball out of the park, you dick. And just slowly jogging around the bases, looking at him the whole time.
Yeah,
and I don't know why he pissed me off, but that feeling is amazing.
That was an amazing feeling.
Finger, giving him the finger, freaking pie in your face.
Yeah,
feeling. Of
Did you
like,
win the game?
I don't remember.
Yeah, see, that's.
I'm sure. Yeah. Who knows what the score was? I just remember that moment. Was just like, yeah, like, screw you, dude. Like, it was wonderful.
That's a great best.
Worst moment of organized sports is probably the entire time I was in Little League because my dad was my coach. So my dad was my coach.
Now, I know we've talked about both of our fathers being mailmen. Did he ever come in his mailman uniform?
No.
He was in Nabisco.
No. But he was crazy like a mailman, like you'd expect a man who works at the post office. And it's just being the coach's son, he gets to yell at you more. He gets to like grab you, but like he gets literally like would grab me and like drag me off if you did something bad. And like these days, I'm sure he'd be in jail. But like all of that stuff was like terrible. It sucked. Like, yeah, there's a ton of pressure. But I don't know. At the same time, like we were all, because me and my brothers all were, he was our coach for all of us. And we all were pretty decent.
Awesome. Yeah.
And we're pretty good. So it's one of those things like, yeah, he was kind of mean, but he was, you know, he knew what the hell he was doing. And we all ended up being pretty good at it. So, but man, it sucked.
But funny, the Wayans brothers were interviewed about doing movies directed by their older brother, Keenan. And it was on the Conan O'Brien show, and they said, how is it? They said, it's terrible. We hate it. And they said, why is that? Well, with the other actors, if they make a mistake, he's like, oh, it's simple. Yeah. Let's redo the line. You know, we have a coach. But if we make a mistake, he'll slap us in the back of the head and go, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Absolutely.
Yeah, like, and we can't say anything because he's our older brother.
My dad at one point like grabbed one of my brothers by like the hat and hair and like drug him. Like, I'm telling you, this was like old school, like – I can't imagine a coach doing that this
now,
day and age
right.
and like getting away with
and
that.
And all the parents are like, oh, that's his son.
It's
like
his son. Instead of getting mad. That's his TV. Like he can do whatever he wants with it. Like he can just drag it off.
Well, so, if he didn't fuck up, he wouldn't have got his hair and head dragged
damn straight. If he wouldn't have tried to freaking stole third base and he would have looked. Yeah, exactly.
Right. Back to the Revelous fake.
Ooh, wow. Super big point.
Point? Okay, the point for that. What's that?
I don't remember. Vegas, when you're going to punch somebody, throw the hand up to the left and then hit him with the right.
Damn, double points. Yeah, man, there you go. All right.
Because
I didn't even know that.
Rocket punch? No, it's just a Revelous fake, man. You just get the eye to move over here just a little bit. Boom, open them up.
With Jet Li does the Revelous fake and fucking Kiss of the Dragon.
Oh, hell yeah.
That's how he finishes off the last dude. He fucking fakes him, and then he kicks his hand out, and he pops him in the face multiple times.
That's the Arevalo's fake.
It's a Jet Li. Yeah,
triple points for Travis. So you got to catch up, Carlos. So so you're up to bat. All right. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. All right, Carlos. What about your best or worst sports thing?
Well, let's see. I don't do any sports. I never did any sports. I'm not coordinated enough for that. I'm not physically gifted in that manner. Mm. the closest thing I did to any organized thing is cage fighting.
Yeah.
Somewhat
what is that? What are you doing, Larry?
Somewhat competitive.
What do you mean? What am I laughing?
Because he's talking about like organized sports, and this is a different thing. So it's like
I'm laughing because, of course, the closest thing to organized sports would be cage fighting. Please explain. Your cage fighting experience.
You didn't humble brag about cage fighting like I did. But.
There's nothing humble about that.
It's not full contact. It's not like we're busting each other's faces. It's more like pancration rules where it's open hand to the face and closed fist to the body. And I have a completely losing record when it comes to fighting inside the cage or the mat whenever I go to these tournaments. My ground game's okay, but I am a walking focus mitt when it comes to being on my stand-up game.
Oh, you got to open strong and close strong. That's the secret of stand-up. Try your new stuff in the middle.
Get the crowd back on your side.
Do some crowd work.
As if there's any Latinos in the house.
Exactly.
Oh, can you apply those? Can you apply stand up to basketball? Can you fucking do that as a kids coach?
All right, like, guys, what we need to do is we need to do some race baiting. First, get to.
Yeah, do crowd work.
Start with the lowest common denominator.
All right, say where the ladies at. So,
last tournament, I lost three of my matches in a row.
Have you ever won?
Never. Not in an actual tournament.
Oh, just in the streets.
Yeah, just when it counts.
Unsanctioned fist fights, that's been over a decade since I've actually done those. Mm-hmm. And I lost my last one, and that's probably why I don't do them anymore.
All right. Unsanctioned fist fights. Yep, that's a Carlos Castro answer for organized sports. Thank you. And so worst is that you're defeated.
I'm defeated.
As opposed to undefeated.
I got Batista bombed in my last one by the Juggernaut. The kid was named the Juggernaut.
Yeah, that was his nickname.
Ouch.
That was his nickname. And
the unstoppable force.
Yeah, I didn't know.
And you were movable.
Yeah, I was clearly. All 245 pounds of me picked up and Batista bombed.
Fuck, that sucks. I can't imagine that happening, but I'm sure you let it happen. So he can feel good about himself. So then he can mind fuck him later.
And Larry's mind, you lost on purpose.
Yeah, you let him lose because you saw, like, you know, him struggling, like, you know, in his personal life, like outside of the cage. And then, like,
and then that kid grew up and he became John Cena.
Yeah, exactly. he became Batista. Like, because he got Batista bombed, and that's Batista where he invented the move was on Carlos.
And now he's in Guardians of the Galaxy because of you, man.
That's what happened. I mean, and that's not, and the way I'm going to be telling the story in the future is that I didn't lose to the Juggernaut. It took the Juggernaut to
beat
you.
There it is.
Wow.
Nice.
Wow.
Yeah. That was your worst. Yeah. What about your best?
Since, again, I don't do any organized sports, my best is my son.
Oh, yes. That's a good answer. Awesome. That's a very good answer.
My son, like myself, has no sports talent. He can't catch. He can't. He can't throw. He can't even run at this point.
He's good. You don't need to run. Yeah, running is pointless.
He's seven,
but he can kill people.
But he in his second ever jiu-jitsu tournament, he went in and beat everybody from anywhere from 10 to 15 seconds, to include a kid that was 2 years older than him and was two belts higher. And this kid is like, if you see their profile, it has a bunch of medals and trophy swords and trophies all over place with a bright yellow belt. Odin's just a white belt. That's only been doing this.
But his name is Odin.
Yeah,
his name is
helps.
Odin Castro.
And he's your son.
And he's my son. Yeah. And he went in there and wrecked house from ages 7 to 9.
Wow.
Nice.
That is a great moment.
That's a very proud moment.
Yeah. And then did you hug him or did you just act like it was no big deal, but inside wanting to hug him, but act like it was no big deal so he can be like,
this is par for the course.
I need to do better next time.
Yeah.
No, I hugged him. I told him he did really good, but I told him, you're the champion today.
Ooh. Yeah.
Tomorrow is a different day.
Ooh, very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Enjoy it while you can.
Because I've always thought that's what Popovich did to Ginobili, because he's never really started Ginobili. He's always been a sixth man. So I've always felt that the reason why Ginobili played as hard as he did is because Popovich told him, well, if you play a little harder, maybe you'll start the next game.
That's his biggest rumor.
Yeah. And that's why he plays with just 110% single game.
I'm going to start next game. And Popovich goes, hey, you got 24 points and, you know, 16 rebounds, but you missed that pass.
Yeah. That's why he didn't.
Yeah, exactly. So
that's why he didn't announce that retirement yet. He's hoping this.
He's
this
hoping
be
to start
year.
This year.
Yeah.
All right, Travis. What about you? Organized sports.
Well, I'm obviously built for it.
Obviously,
obviously. But best is probably, I think, my seventh grade year of middle school. I got the runner's high the one and only time.
How dare you? You didn't.
I haven't run since. I don't even run for my life. So we started out, I was in athletics for 6 weeks of school only, and then I backed out so I could stay in band.
Nice.
Is band athletics, is that true?
It's considered athletics, yeah.
In high school and college.
Because you get all the...
From all the fucking...
Yeah, because it's true. No, but you get all the credits slash kind of like you get like exempt from all these classes. You get all the same exemptions as you do if you were in any other sports.
So your best is?
Seventh grade year of middle school. Our coaches all took us out and wanted to see how fast can you run around the track for a lap?
That sounds like some base non-coach shit. Yeah. Go run out there.
We're going to time you.
For one lap.
Well,
one
it's out in the country, so it's like, yeah, go ahead and run around that there track. We're going to see how fast you can fucking run.
Anybody got a watch? Oh, cool. Anyone know how to read this motherfucker? All right.
Get the pig out there. We're going to make him chase him. So they're like, okay, just run around the lap or run around the track one lap and we'll time you. And it's the only time I have ever won individually in a group sport. Ooh. I started out, you know, tortoise versus the hare kind of thing. I was like, you know what? All these other guys are like, rah! And they go run out there and they're like hauling ass. And I'm like, oh, fuck that. And so I just like moving along a little bit more, inching up, getting bigger, and then finally wound up winning. Got very first. Ass. And then they were like,
slow
oh.
and steady wins the race.
Yeah, but it didn't work for whenever they made us run a mile right after that.
Yeah.
And I puked.
Good.
That's
a mile and a quarter. Like, because because you ran one and then you ran four more. Yep. So that sucks.
So that was my best. My worst was little league baseball. I was never really an athletic kid, spent most of my time as a kid in the hospital. And so once I was finally able to, you know, be out and about and do sports and stuff like that, my parents, we moved to a new town and they're like, hey, you want to try baseball? And I'm like, yeah, I'll try baseball. That sounds fun.
Yeah.
That's what kids do.
Is it better than chemo?
Yeah.
Anything is.
Yeah, exactly.
So I was put into a coach pitch league, and the thing is this is going to sound terrible, but I was a friggin' ball magnet. Anytime there was a loose baseball that could hit a kid, it hit me.
Yeah, you, yeah. And probably the chemo.
Yeah, took a lot of balls to the face. But the
They're
worst
too easy. You're teacupping us. We're not going to do it.
I know.
Better than teabagging us. I feel better by myself.
Some dirty tea right there.
Yeah.
But the absolute worst one was my coach would, it was coach pitch. So your coach is supposed to be able to lob the ball across the plate But my coach freaking nailed me with the ball.
Wow.
So bad.
And he did that on purpose.
The thing that sucks, and yeah, I was always that kid who played right field because they're like, oh, you suck. Put him out in right field.
I hate the fact that you're on my team. Yeah. And he just throws the ball at you.
Yeah. Oh, dude, I played right field, but then all the balls used to come to me for whatever reason because how uncoordinated the hitters were. So that might as well have been left. But go ahead.
But yeah. So, and the thing that sucks when you get hit by your own coach is you don't get to take the base like you would if you have an opposite.
You just stay there and take it again.
Yeah, like, oh, shit. All right.
Boom. Oh, sorry. One more time. Just get, come on. Let me do this. Right. Okay.
Yeah, even my parents are like,
take your helmet off.
Just, you're doing a good job, baby. It's like, can I take my base now? No, fucking take it, fucker.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it just happened multiple times.
Balls to the face. Nailed by your coach.
Yep.
But never straight up jammed. Thank God for that.
Straight up jammed. Another point. Were you about to say that?
I was talking to White Card earlier.
Yeah,
that was my uncle, not my coach.
Point, Carlos, that you weren't straight up jammed. And if you don't get that reference, man, fuck you.
You're maybe a better person.
No. Listen to the Jay Whitecott and Tom Simmons podcast episode number
89, if I remember correctly.
Fucking A point. Another point for Travis.
That's fucking magical.
All right, Jess.
Yes.
I actually have the perspective of everyone's story has to do with somebody in organized sports, but I like to present the perspective of experiencing organized sports from the outside point of view.
Ooh.
And in this essence that in high school, I was not in sports. I was in band.
Which is a sport,
but that's not the thing I'm going for, is that I went to Judson High School, and Judson High School in Texas had a legacy of winning state championships.
Mm-hmm.
They're one of the top teams in Texas. They used to be the year that I went, freshman year, sophomore year, and senior year, they won state championships. They took it to championships. So the best experience is being a senior and being on the team that wins the state championship.
You travel with the team, right?
You travel with the team as a band. In band, I went to all of these different cities. So it was interesting that you go through the school thing of traveling to different cities, and Texas is a huge fucking state.
Yep.
So we're talking hours long trips to different states to have just one game play
finger
football.
Banging in school buses.
only witnessing that. I didn't get a piece of that, but you're definitely smelling it, or you're hearing it, or maybe seeing it, or hearing about it. But being from somebody in band, it's like the whole thing of like, oh, football sucks, and this whole thing's a bad, you know, like you shit on the system. You didn't want to be a part of it. But at the same time, sports, organized sports, team, you know, cheering for a team, it's something that really is contagious, I guess. Mm-hmm. It really is fun to grab onto. Like that experience, a senior year of being on a winning team, is a very great experience to understanding that, you know what, sports could be magical. It could be very entertaining. It could be very exciting. And it could be very intense, because even though our team landslided pretty much everybody, including the final, like it wasn't even like your like TV game where it's like, oh, it's the last quarter and blah. No, they like landslided every fucking team. Like just every time. It's fun. I'm not going to lie.
Winning is fun.
And I really did think that was a really cool experience. Now, the worst but simultaneously best experience with all this is that in my senior year, and it's funny, late bloomer, I was introduced to the word twat. I never heard the expression or the word twat ever.
Please say,
wait, what
it
does
was
it mean?
Eat never... my twat.
No. And it was this dude. He's like, we were playing against this team. They were like the Tigers or something.
Of course they were.
And this dude.
The Wildcats.
One of the guys was like, so he, and just real nonchalant, that sign says twat. And I'm just like, what? He's like, he's playing, that sign says twat. And I just didn't get, I was like, what are you talking about? It says twat. And I look over, and it says Tigers win all the time. And it was an anagram, and it was holding the sign.
Oh, wow.
And it spelled out twat. But I did, like all the people that weren't.
Had no idea.
Had no idea why the sign wasn't pulled down in the first place. I was sitting there, I was like, I don't get it. He's like, twat. The guy said twat, like, I don't know, seven times before finally goes, you know, twat. Like, he never defined it. Yeah, and then finally goes, pussy. What's pussy? sign says pussy. And so I look at the sign and just very straight up, very predator Billy. I fucking just started fucking cracking up.
I don't remember that part. I've only seen it once.
God damn it.
Oh, is it that joke? The joke they say in the helicopter? Okay, okay.
Yeah. Very late. It was very, but so the, like, yes, the winner's high and also being introduced to the word twat. Worst and best. Organized sports. Thanks, well, organized sports. That's where your money goes to.
The worst? It sounds pretty good at both ends.
Yeah, because it's kind of just, I don't know, like it's a dirty word and it's not even my vernacular. I never really use that word. And
you know, like you're being a twat.
Yeah. No, not up and up until then, that was not a thing.
Like, let me munch your twat.
And also, you got to remember in high, and so like this guy saying, it's twat. Twat. Yeah. Like, and so there's people around that did know what twat was. And so you have girls like getting uncomfortable because this guy's like, fuck, it's twat. Twat's pussy. Science is pussy.
Yeah, I can eat two twats at the same time.
Yeah. It was like, and so like around there, and then like it kind of turned, I was too busy laughing, but someone was like, can you please stop saying that? And he's like, what, just says twat. I'm not the one saying it. Science says it.
I'm just fucking reading. You're going to give that me for reading. When you fuck.
You going to be a twat about it?
You're going to give that me for reading, you fucking pussy.
Yeah, that's all there is.
Nice.
Yeah, gash.
All right, Facebook answers. Ryan Timothy Brace, RTB, says, we had no goalie. When we had no goalie at a hockey tournament.
Of course it's hockey.
That's right, Canadians, man. That's all they know. It's like Canadian baseball. When we had no goalie at a hockey tournament, and the coach decided to throw
the Maple Leafs down the
cast. I like how hockey has three quarters.
They're periods.
What happened to the
hockey periods?
I know, but it's
there we go, yeah. Joke.
Anyway, when we had no goalie at a hockey tournament, and when the coach decided to throw me in the nets, so that means they made him the goalie. For
mm-hmm. those is that what that means?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Maybe he thought it was a perfect position for a fat boy, taking up a lot of space and not moving as much. Well, I sucked. The pucks that didn't make it into the net kept hitting me in all the padding joints, making their protection useless. Needless to say, we lost. Badly. Oh, and the coach was my dad.
Oh man, are you listening in?
That sucks.
Wow.
Berto Garcia says, I ran the 400-meter dash in fourth grade. I ended up getting first place, but the entire intermediate classes were chanting, banana, banana, banana. And I was going to finish line because my grandmother made me wear these yellow Prefontaine shorts, like short shorts. I'm so glad I didn't go through puberty because they'd gotten an extra pair of grapes to cheer for as well. Right. I love you, Larry.
That's what's awesome is that, like, this is a similar question that we had before, and he put that comment in, and I fucking love that story, bro. Yeah. It's fucking great.
It's a good story, but...
Sorry, guys.
Hey, Carlos, hold this banana.
I'm sorry, what?
Episode 25.
Oh, yeah. My gosh.
That was the first time I was there.
Points. Uh-huh.
With Raul.
It's like 10 points.
Banana gram. You stole this banana.
I don't care what anybody says. You're the best part of that podcast.
Damn.
That was the best surprise I've ever had at a thing.
What happened?
Were you there?
That was just any other day for you.
I guarantee I was there. I have no listen to this shit. Fucking podcasts are boring.
Larry, oh my gosh. Anyway,
Justin Cooper says,
he does. Well, you guys saw that finally within that message thread. Anyway, Justin Cooper says, I was in weightlifting with the wrestling team in high school. I ran stairs and wore garbage bags over sweatshirts for 2 weeks before throwing up in a trash can before I could calling it quits. I stayed in weightlifting, but was shunned by the wrestling team. Sorry, man. It's tough. Alfred Perez says, I got to see the Spurs for free with my brother.
Woo-woo!
Spurs tickets were a perk for my old job.
That's nice. A good perk, man.
All right. And Matthew Wayne says, I played football from grades 7 to 10 and got to play on defense and offense. Some great times, scored a touchdowns as a running back and a wide receiver. Got some interceptions while playing as a cornerback safety and even spear tackled a guy once. It also happened to hurt me. Oh, no, it also happened to me, so I know how much it can hurt. Yeah,
really laying in around the kidneys.
Yeah,
yeah, man. So if you got kids and you got to put, you want them.
What?
You know what? If they want to play a sport, let them play it. Don't force them. But unless they need that motivation.
But if you want them to be good, force them.
Force them. If you want them to not have their own personality, then you force them to play sports and make sure that sports are more important than their school.
Tiger mom it.
Yeah, or. If you want to live vicariously through your children,
ooh, good God, that's
and
good
you weren't good at sports, and you want your kids to be good in sports and be douchebags,
then also put them in sports. But if they like sports and they want to play sports and they choose to play sports, you know, be there when they're down and they want to quit. Just make sure they don't quit. Or if they want to quit, let them quit.
Don't, unless you want them to be good.
But if you they, you don't really care, it doesn't matter. So, you know, parenting, you know, fuck it. They're,
yeah. Yeah, exactly. If they like music, buy them Huey Lewis and the News's sports.
Yeah, exactly. Or buy them Bobby Brown. I guess we're all going to have to take control from the Ghostbusters 2 soundtrack with the instrumental on side B.
But don't let them quit.
Yeah, unless they want to quit.
But unless you want them to be good, then yeah. Don't.
Or if you can't afford it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no, yeah that's for yeah, sure. That's if you can't afford it, just
yeah.
Fuck
yeah.
It.
Yeah, just fuck it, man. Right. Yeah,
you're wasting money.
For yep. Sure, 100%.
Computer class.
They're not going to go pro.
Yeah, fuck them. You know, don't have kids.
Your kid's never going pro. No. That's the, that's okay. The lesson.
Okay, yeah. Unless you're selling crack or got a wicked jump shot, just like B.I.G. says. Have your kids sell crack. So, Regan, what's not funny?
Oh, man, so much stuff. This is this edition of Hey, That's Not Funny, where we talk about stuff that is not funny. I'm talking about something from Science Daily. It is from a November 2016 article from Human Factors of Ergonomic Society, everyone's favorite magazine, right?
Yeah.
Human Factors of Ergonomic. Anyway, it's talking about...
I have a subscription to that. I mean, prescription.
Yes. The article is called How Much Attention Do Drivers Need to Pay? So this is actually about being distracted while driving, but it's about defining what distracted is while driving. So they talk about if it were possible to determine exactly what constitutes inattention while driving, it might be possible to detect it before bad things happen. So what these guys did is they came up with something called minimum required attention, which is MIRA, which is MIRA, which I thought was kind of funny, but I don't think that's what they did. Which in English or which in Spanish means
look.
So it's like mira, look. Anyway, so
mira, look.
So it's minimum required attention, MI, and then RA, which is these guys were coming up with a way to determine what is situational awareness and being able to visually attend to and acting on the minimum amount of information from the environment necessary for safe driving. So they're trying to determine the minimum amount of information from the environment necessary for safe driving, which when you think about it, a lot of people talk about when they're driving, you can just kind of just like lapse into just kind of I forgot what they call it, where you just kind of just forget that you're even driving, but yes. Because you've driven home so many times.
It's considered hypnosis.
Yeah, that you've driven home so many times that you literally forget what you're doing.
Daydream and you're like, just how going to you're like,
oh, crap, I'm pulling up into my driveway already and I didn't even know.
Right. So you get the Best Buy early in the morning after gaming too much.
There you go.
Yeah, absolutely. There you don't even remember.
Yeah.
So that's a point, by the way.
Oh, ooh, nice.
I'm divvying the points here.
Yeah, I can't
point
say
for Carlos.
This is all about the system, the minimum required.
Fist bump from both guests, double points.
Minimum required attention. It's actually just kind of interesting that they're trying to formulate sort of an algorithm that shows how much attention you don't need to have, which brings us to my topic question today, which was, and I'm going to be honest, like I said, it starts with be honest, what distracts you the most while driving? A lot of, you know, of course, obviously texting and driving is really bad. One thing I always like to say about texting and driving is that I do it. I do it all the time. I don't know if everybody else says it. I do it. This isn't my answer, but I work with high school students, and we go to this thing every year hosted by AT&T. And AT&T has the it's worth the wait, because it's worth the wait is like when you don't have sex. But it's called like It Can Wait. It's just called
Dead Can Wait.
Yeah, yes, their campaign is called It Can Wait.
Better unread than dead.
Exactly. So it's AT&T's campaign of like making sure you're not texting and driving. And every year they have these kids sign this big poster that says like, I won't text and drive. And it's just like, It Can Wait. And all these kids, they sign their name on it because they're pledging not to. And every year the kids look at me and they're like, are you going to sign it, sir? I'm like, no. It's like, I text and drive. Like
You tell them that?
Yes. I go, I can do it. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going
to
lie.
I don't want you to die from texting and driving, though.
I won't. Believe me, I'm okay. I'll be fine. But here's what
I know it comes out on the podcast. Jess.
I know
you're not editing out me. No, here's
okay. Real talk. If I'm gonna die, it's gonna because something got caught on something. Seriously, it happens way too many times in my life. Either like random holes, or random button holes will get caught on random little hooks. Like, oh my gosh, it happens way
on the highway.
No, I'm just saying in real life. If I ever die accidentally, it's because something got caught on something. Period. Just know that.
As sad as I will be losing one of my best friends in the world, if he died like that, my initial reaction would be laughter.
You should. Because I would be, because while I'm dying, whatever, it's because of a broken neck or just slashed artery, I'd be like, yeah, I knew it.
Like internally, God damn it. Like, that's got to be the whole internal dialogue.
But, what if that happened to Chris Cornell? We don't know.
Dude, seriously, but no.
What if he was stressed? Because it was a bungee cord. So what if he was like, let me get... Like, what
he
if
just Mr. Bean is like
Mr. Bean, just like the, I said chowder! Just like the waiter in The Simpsons. Point for Larry.
Anyway.
What if that happened to Chris Cornell?
Very possible. My answer for what distracts me, if I'm going to die behind the wheel... It is from trying to put salsa on a breakfast taco.
God, hell yeah.
There should be a law against that.
What? Ask him to put it in at the restaurant. Have you ever even thought about that?
I got to get to work.
So I understand that, but have you ever asked him to say, can you put some salsa?
What if they put too much? Or what if I want one part of that green salsa and the other part of it has the red salsa?
Ask him for that in a drive-thru.
What if it costs too much?
No.
It doesn't cost anything. Because
I'm not going to put the lady through that. She barely understands English.
But it's your life.
Anyway.
Dame salsa en la taco, por favor. That isn't even correct, right?
No, but you put the salsa in the taco. That's your proportion. That is your flavor.
In the driveway.
I got to get to work or wherever I'm going.
Fucking park, bro.
No, Regan. No, it's really tough.
I feel your struggle.
But yeah.
Yes, but you shouldn't.
I mean, dipping fries in a gravy on your lap, I can do that pretty good. Eating fried chicken while driving, super easy. But yeah, it's the putting the salsa on the taco and not getting on yourself too. It's because usually you're wearing dress work clothes. So getting the salsa just can't be done. But that should be outlawed. If I'd vote for that mayor.
That would be a good mandate.
I'd vote for that mayor.
Like, click it or ticket. Don't text and drive.
Don't salsa. Wait, salsa your taco.
Salsa y alta.
Salsa alta, y
alta. Yeah, salsa.
Alta para salsa.
There you go. Alta para salsa.
You like that? Well, what would you say that it should be?
Yeah, alta para salsa is good.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Alta para salsa.
I would like to go next because I almost hate the fact that that's his answer.
That's the most San Antonio answer.
No.
I mean, amazing.
Because my answer is kind of sneezing, but
is the worst.
No, because it falls in the same category of like getting snagged on something. I feel that my demise would be a sneeze is going to trigger some kind of Final Destination dumb shit. I'll be 80 and badass and whatever. And I'm going to whoa.
And you're going
to
kill a family.
Yeah, exactly.
A family on their way to surprise their kids if they're going to Disney World.
Right.
That's what's going to happen. Because you sneeze like a fucking monster.
So sneezing is an accident that's uncontrollable. So we're talking about like distractions. So I'm following after Regan's because my answer is putting the pickles and onions on my Bill Miller's Pro Boy. I hate that his answer. I hate that his answer was salsa on a taco because
No, it can't.
I gotta drive to fucking work.
I'm gonna put it in the Pro Boy.
I got an hour lunch. I want to maximize as much time to get from point to point B so I can play on my Nintendo Switch, and I want to eat my sandwich during the drive. So, but I've asked him. Can you please put the pickles and onions on the sandwich? They don't do that. So on the drive, I have to open up the foiled po' boy sandwich, open up the Ziploc bag.
Bars!
And then...
Real quick.
He's an artist.
I gotta make this happen.
And most drive-thrus, they shoot you straight out into
the
street.
They shoot you straight out. Yep. It's hard enough to like fucking put the change back in your wallet without them shooing you out of the driveway.
Even your card.
Or get your card
change
and receipt back.
Back in your pocket. What are you fucking in the 50s?
Anyways, picture for all you outside of San Antonio people, the po' boy they serve you in Bill Miller's is a sandwich wrapped up in foil. You unwrap the foil sandwich.
A po' boy outside of Texas is shrimp.
Yeah.
So people need to understand that. It's
a barbecue po' boy.
A barbecue
po' boy. Yeah, so brisket, it'll be either turkey. Mine usually do turkey, try to, fucking watch the
fucking
intake. So I do turkey. and then I'll put the pickles and onions, but you got to put the pickles and onions in the sandwich. Sometimes, if I can, I'll throw the fries into the sandwich, too, so I can get very Pamani Brothers type of...
A very
Pamani Brothers type of po' boy.
Do you get slaw, too?
I do. I'm not going to fucking lie. I've gotten slaw before, so that's the trickiest.
Ooh, that's real tough, yeah.
That's the trickiest. That's where I do have to park. I have to park to put the slaw and the fries and the pickles and onions. But just a regular po' boy, it is a challenge, and it is a major distraction to operate my phone to play music, but also put pickles and onions.
And both of you look down. And drunk drivers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because their full faculties are still there.
Because like
no,
Regan.
They're not.
No, they because in Regan, I only do it when I'm in the clear.
That's a drunk driver excuse like a motherfucker.
No, exactly. Yeah. But look, drinking and driving is wrong. We all know it's wrong.
Yeah.
You're getting in the car and here's the time. How many times are people getting drunk and driving to work?
Okay. That's a fair analogy, but the destination isn't the issue. It's the driving with the incapacity to pay attention.
See a billboard that has Oprah on it that says "Stop eating your sandwiches while driving," then maybe
you're going to crash when you're reading the billboard.
You hit my point. That was going to be my joke answer. It's billboards that tell me not to do shit while driving.
The advertising.
I'm very careful.
Don't read this billboard to survive.
I want people to know that I'm very careful when I'm orchestrating my sandwich, but we're talking about distractions. It is a distraction. That's the most distracting thing because I don't text. I don't even answer calls.
I text like crazy.
Yeah. Although I will have my phone to fast forward tracks on my phone, but I don't have to look at my phone. It's like, it's on my wheel or whatever. Yeah. So, but putting pickles and onions on my po' boy is a challenge. And if it's a busy road, I'm not going to do it. Or I'll pull over to the side. Or maybe I'll just eat in the Bill Miller's parking lot.
If it's raining, I'll slow down.
I won't do it in the rain. I won't do it in the rain because I like to have the windows down. And I don't, you know, if it's going to rain, my sandwich is going to get wet or something. So.
How much pickle onion juice have you spilled on
your my car is ruined. And here's the other thing, too, is that every time I get Bill Miller's, I eat in the car. My car just fucking smells like...
Waterburger fucking smells. I can't differ because we've made many road trips. Over 4 or 5 hour road trips and just grabbed Whataburger on the way home. And those of you not from Texas, Whataburger kind of smells like balls. So it's hard. No, it's delicious.
After it's been in the car for a while.
But yeah, like have you ever like scratched in between your leg and your ball and then smelled, but you don't put mustard on your Whataburger.
Yeah.
So okay, that's what it is.
So there's mustard.
Meat and mustard smell like balls.
Well, anyways, that's my answer.
Okay. Well, go ahead, Carlos.
Larry, if you say mixing a suicide inside of your vehicle, you got the full San Antonio trifecta.
Mine is making a mangonada.
Keep it San Antonio, dude.
Now, mine is honestly, I'm glad you brought up sneezing because I hate sneezing and driving. Like, you are literally, like, you're unconscious for a second.
Right.
While you sneeze.
Shuts everything.
Your vision's impaired.
Yeah, it sucks. It really sucks. I really feel like I'm going to get in a car accident. But mine is a real quick, simple one, is Spotify. I'm a big Spotify fan. For those who don't know who Spotify, it's like Pandora. It's like iHeartRadio. It's a music app. And if it's on a playlist that I don't like, then I will have to go and look and browse my playlist while I'm driving, especially if it's a long road trip.
Right.
You know, and then the other thing that gets me most distracted is seizures.
Oh, that sucks.
Shit.
But
seizures. I haven't driven since October.
Lucky bastard.
So, yeah, so Spotify, if I'm not too happy with it and I want to hear like a particular song, you bet your sweet car accident that I'm going to fucking type Lounge Act by Nirvana.
type out the song and artist on your phone.
Exactly. Go to the album, scroll down, find the album because I don't shuffle play because I pay for that shit.
God damn it. Carlos?
Roadside bombs.
Oh my!
There it is. Nice. That's your biggest distraction.
The horrors of war.
Do you still feel it? Do you still have like the PTSD while you're driving? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's
Because you, you drove in the war, right?
I have.
Yeah, and, point, by the way. For saving our lives.
Thank you.
And it's very common for anybody that's been in that situation. When they come back, they see any bit of trash on the side of the road.
Yeah.
Or some weird traffic movements, which when I got to San Antonio always freaks me out.
Sure.
See how much I love San Antonio. I feel so good about coming in. And then I get into traffic and people driving around me in San Antonio. It's like, oh, that's right. This is the one thing I don't like about San Antonio.
Because they drive like they do in a fucking war-torn country.
You hear that, Austin? We stole that from you.
You were driven in Austin to drive like fucking assholes. They're instead like of putting
miles an hour and
pickles and onions in there, they're trying to put their fucking
kale,
yeah, fucking flax seed in their fucking
organizer Pandora.
Their kimchi souffle.
No, they have some app that we've never heard of.
They have to swap out a vinyl.
Yeah, exactly.
That's pandering. That's the most common denominator stand-up shit. I shouldn't have said that. Yeah, that's dumb.
So they, fucking they had to put the needle on their phonograph in this fucking Model A car.
The screeching's never their brakes. It's always the
guys, before they start the record. They're all riding bikes.
Yeah, oh. They'll put the giant wheel, the giant front wheel, and the small wheel.
And a curly mustache. Now, come on. Damn it, that's got to go to work now. Yeah. That's my bad. That's dumb.
Yeah,
that's my bad. I started that. That's bad. That's my bad.
So what the fuck I'm talking about?
Go next. I mean, it's probably not Roadside Bombs, Travis, but go ahead.
Yeah, wow. Why do I always wind up going after
bomb
you?
Bomb for shade. Point for shade. Christ. Point for throwing God. Shade.
Point for shade.
Point for shade.
Oh, God. I get lost in thought a lot. Driving 50 miles, it's pretty much straight road, so I get lost in thought a lot.
Like that falls into the actual source of the topic, right? Wouldn't it be like you get lost in thought because – meet up because –
yeah, exactly. That's
it's routine.
The minimum required – what do you call it?
Yeah.
Attentiveness.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, and I also get distracted sometimes when I'm trying to get into a good part of a public access episode.
It's like
that's
the pandemic.
Fucking double points, bro. Yeah. Throwing the fanboy in the answer.
We'll take it.
But I constantly get lost in thought. It's gotten a lot better because I'm like live streaming and talking with my friends online every once in a while, and it makes me focus more because I don't want to like fucking die on video.
Yeah, that's hands free.
Hands free.
Wow.
As I'm eating, listening.
You know, one of the things about this job at this call center that I used to have was I had this big misconception that I was at a professional job. It was right after GameStop, right? And we went and we delivered presents to needy children. And so afterwards, the lady driving her Suburban that we all like shared in decided to go to Wiener Schnitzel. And this lady literally was driving, I'd say, 80, 85 miles an hour with her knee as she was fixing her hot dog with mustard and relish on her phone.
Gross.
Yeah. It scared the shit out of me because I was in the back and I guess she wasn't so professional as I thought. And then when her song came on, she tried to fucking put the fucking volume on, but her hands were busy with sausage in her phone.
And the dials are all greasy and everything.
This is a good song.
This is my jam. Yeah, exactly.
While driving, too.
Watch the
road. Yeah, right? That's what I'm trying to think of a video game. That's a...
Oh, that's Street Fighter.
That's any charge move.
I'll tell you one thing, though, real quick. The one thing that will absolutely make you focus the most is having to take a piss or a shit in an emergency. And when you need to get to a bathroom, you're focused because you don't want to hit anything, slow down, do anything that's going to, you know, possibly make you explode.
Oh, good call.
Facebook answers. Yeah. Ryan Timothy Bray says, the fear of hitting something with the car. So just a constant fear of hitting something with a car.
-1 point.
Being over-attentive.
Berto Garcia says, my rambling thoughts. Friggin' thoughts.
Man.
Justin Cooper says, nothing will pull my hands away from the wheel more than a bad song on Pandora.
Ooh.
Three-car pilot? Psh. Obvious drug bust? Psh. Simon and Garfunkel on Wu-Tang Radio? Horse crap. Yeah, right? Like, how did this get on Wu-Tang?
Let me thumbs down it. Where's my phone? Crash.
And then, hello, darkness, my friend.
And he beat me to it like he's dead from fucking a car accident. And all they hear is radio. Hello, darkness, my friend.
Perfect.
This dude liked Simon and Garfunkel. It happened on a railroad track. So then he becomes a ghost and pushes cars over as they're listening to Simon and Garfunkel.
It's playing at his funeral.
Yeah, he's reaching inside of the car to change the dial.
He doesn't like Simon and Garfunkel.
No, but he doesn't want to be remembered. Yeah. Or it's on Wu-Tang. Good answer. Good answer.
Greg Forrest says, my undying love for other drivers.
Yeah, right.
Alfred Perez says, I snack when I drive sometimes. That or singing, when I had a car anyway. Nicole Gomez says, my Pandora radio.
Yeah.
Leslie Holt says, phone sucks. Matthew Wayne says, when summertime comes around and all the ladies start wearing skirts and dresses, it's hard to stay focused. But I'm from Canada, so at least half of the year, everyone is bundled up for the cold.
Oh, so booty.
Yeah.
Booty issues.
So it's a good thing he doesn't live in like a hot place because then he'd just be getting rinsed.
Yeah, when you come down to San Antonio, boy.
You shock the noodles.
Exactly, man. Fuck up your brakes here.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
No, man.
I'll take a hard pass on a lot of this.
No, if you're into mom butts like I am,
You'll be driving a different stick shift.
Exactly. Yeah. That's right. That means jerk it off while you drive.
And finally, Jessica Bersanio says, my music isn't playing properly. Music isn't playing properly because the aux to my phone isn't working right.
Fucked up aux cable, girl.
I have to plug it in and unplug it multiple times in order for it to catch. That sucks. Man.
You need music while you drive. You don't need salsa in your tacos or pickles in your
onions
you drive.
You know you need it in your mouth.
Yes. Not well.
Man, I'm gonna let them get cold. Is that what you're saying?
They're not gonna get cold in fucking aluminum foil.
What am I going to do, not put the pickles and onions in my sandwich?
No, that's what you don't do.
I mean, the 15-minute drive, they're going to get cold. They're not going to be as fresh.
If I don't put them on the sandwich, the fucking bag's going to rip. It's going to spill to the bag, and my car's going to smell like pickles and onions.
So when you T-bone Judson Cooper while he's listening to Simon Garfunkel, and he dies, and you have salsa all over the place.
The EMS guys are like, he died doing what he loves. Look at all this taco everywhere. That boy salsa his taco. Seen it happen 1,000 times. God bless him.
Salsa.
And every time, I get it. I get it. Hello, darkness, my old friend.
Hello, tacos, my old friend.
Credits.
Yep.
Oh, pretty good point.
That's it. So... yeah, paying attention while driving. Nah, it's not that funny.
It's not funny.
No, it's totally not funny.
So, as Travis and Carlos know that this is an educational podcast, this isn't your first time listening, this is your first time on the podcast, so you know it's an educational podcast. So we like to ask our guests and ourselves, what did we come to know? What made us come to learn something about the earth, the world, ourselves, our spirituality, or pop culture? So, Jess... what did you come to know?
I came to know that the epidemic of car accidents while eating, the numbers aren't high enough to create a widespread government-funded PSA campaign to stop eating while driving. Because the numbers for eating, like accidents caused by eating while driving are just high enough. And so I would go on the record to say that it's not the eating that causes the accident. It's the preparation.
Yeah.
So and those numbers are even lower than eating.
Yeah.
So that means that...
it necessitates a marketing campaign. So yeah, I think Comedia Go-Go should sponsor Alta Para Salsa and let's fucking put it on Facebook and let's get people to stop...
Preparing
food.
Fair enough.
While driving.
Fair enough.
Let's do it. You down to do it?
I'm down to do it. Yeah.
Right.
Let's start a campaign. Alta Para Salsa.
Shutter Club photo.
Proper Spanish.
Yeah. It's a little bit more street, but Alta Para Salsa.
Pala. P-A-L-A.
Yeah. It's a proper Spanish, but it's more.
Alta Para Salsa.
And it's this girl who's kind of somber.
No, it's Regan in a car.
With
so
dream.
With the car on the side. And with the Kleenex box in the background.
The windshield is mismatched. And
a record player.
Have you ever seen the... I think it was made in Britain. It was like these teenage girls that are texting and driving, and they get hit, and it becomes a slow motion of them. Yeah. But I think it'd be funny if me slow motion with all the salsa and the tacos just going everywhere.
But it's like Homer in space, like when he was eating, like,
I'm just sad because I'm losing my tacos. I don't care that I got in a wreck. Those are good tacos.
Hello, Taco, my old friend plays in slow mo on that habit.
Tacos, my old friend.
Okay, mine's short and simple and real, and I'm a little ashamed because I guess I should have known this. What I came to know is that Helen Slater and Christian Slater aren't brother and sister. I legitimately thought that they were.
That's a good thing.
I legitimately thought that they were. So fuck me, right, guys?
No, that's a good thing. Yeah. That's a good. Yeah, right, people learn shit.
Yeah,
you didn't know about the Mr. Rogers and
I didn't even know that was a myth.
Yeah, exactly. See, that's what I came to know is there are a bunch of myths out there that I had no idea about.
Right.
For one, Mr. Rogers saved freaking Captain Kangaroo.
Or it was even a Marine.
A Marine. That's like a double, didn't know. Yeah. The Big Trouble in Little China was the
sequel to Buckaroo Banzai.
All of these. The Christian Slater, Helen Slater thing.
Oh, do you think they were brother and sister too?
I didn't even know that's a thing. Hotel California song, there's like a myth.
Well, if you look
at
the album cover, there's a whole bunch of fucking shit on there.
Like,
it's
people
like a dollar bill.
Yeah, people have tried to decode what it meant.
So there's
over there.
A ton of like myths out there that I don't even know about. That's what I came to know.
Yeah. Carlos, what did you come to know?
I came to know that Regan and Jess are puro pinche SA when it comes to driving.
Yep. Yes,
and they are what you hate about our city.
Right. The reasons you can't you know, like driving around is because there's a bunch of people.
It's a fucking Scion
and
a Corolla just moving. It's these fucking Toyota.
The lady with the hot dog and the mustard.
And the radio and the fucking cell phone.
Me with tacos, Jess with the po' boy.
With the windows down. When the dogs find her.
The dogs find her. Point. Yeah. Point, Travis. And he's getting a lot of points, but Carlos, it's gonna be a.
I guess I have to save myself.
All right,
deathmatch in 5 minutes.
Yeah, point. Yeah. All right, now Travis, for the win, 3-2-1. Tell me, Mikkel, how you won the game.
Wait, why is this thing the winning thing?
Well, because they're close. I got a tally in my head. What did you come to know?
That I should never answer questions after Carlos because my answers are never going to be as good.
For what?
Self-deprecation. You'd be proud of himself.
This is not a part of your stand-up comedy plan.
No.
Self-deprecation.
Yeah, start strong, end strong.
All right. Yeah, you got to end strong. So,
wait, you going to make him answer again?
No.
Okay.
Answer again.
God damn it.
What did you come to know? What did you learn about yourself or life today, Travis?
I learned that having cancer gets you ahead.
That's right. Got a point.
Get you ahead or get you ahead?
Both.
Double points. All right. Roadheaded. And now I get to announce the winner of the first fanboy off here on Public Access. With the most points, we have Travis, but the winner is Carlos because I'm afraid of him. Win because he can fucking kill me because he's a cage fighter.
Right.
So, Travis got way more points, but Carlos is intimidating as fuck. So I'm giving it to Carlos. So he won't kill me with his grip.
You're giving it to Carlos so you don't have to take it from Carlos.
That's right. Exactly right. And
I'm a gentleman.
Yeah. He'll ask first, but not take no for an answer. So, are you guys on social media? Where can people follow you? Where can they find you? Or do you even want them to?
We do. I'd actually like to plug in the Electro Sloth Treehouse. It's Travis's podcast that he does on his terrible drive home with the sun in his face, or in the
behind
camera. And now I'm afraid that it was going to kill him, but now I know that it's actually helping him drive.
The Electric Sloth Podcast. And Travis, where can they find that?
It's on Facebook. Electro Sloth Tree Toppers is the group. Anybody's welcome to join. It's been inspired by you guys a lot because I consider y'all my podcast fathers.
Pink. Double points. Still lost.
Once I get it back up and running, you can find Electro Sloth on Twitter. And just follow me if you want to hear stuff about retro games. And watch Carlos if you want to see his son kick ass. Watch him as he makes awesome freaking food on the grill, like a master. I think you still have your channel Mazatlan Grill on YouTube.
Grill without fear.
Well, double points for mutual respect for competitors.
I think the real winners here are the audience.
That's right, guys. So thank you to Travis and Carlos for listening to this podcast.
Thank you for listening to yourselves.
Because you do it. I don't. And so thank you all so much for not only being guests on the podcast, but being fans and spreading the public access/Comedia-A-Go-Go canon out into the world. It's very, very much appreciated.
It's super appreciated.
And Jess, what do we got going on?
Well, hey guys, thanks for listening to us again on oneofus.net. We're super happy to be a part of this jolly good old group of dum-dums and dorks and geeks and whatnot, so we super appreciate putting us in your rotation. If you want to hear more, and you just keep on listening to us at oneofus.net. You can follow us on Comedia Gogo at Facebook and on Twitter, hashtag Public Access, and follow us and join us in our Public Access Happy Campers Facebook page, Public Access Happy Campers. Answer our topic questions. Join us. Listen to us. Keep a listen out for more episodes of Have You Seen This Man? Or movie podcast, which we're super happy to have a part of our new rotation. And thanks for all the love. Thank you.
Guys, you can follow me at Larry Garza Comic on Twitter, Larry Garza Comedy on Instagram, or just look at Larry Garza on Facebook. Headlining, I'm getting back on the road, getting back on my feet again, all thanks to you and your prayers and positive vibes. And coincidentally, Joelle is literally calling me right now. July 29th, guys, at the Guadalupe Theater. That's right, our own Comedia Gogo brother and founder, Joel Settles, is the new theater director there. And I'm going to be headlining the Guadalupe Theater July 29th. So I need each and every one of you to be there. I'm going to do a lot of new material, some of the old favorites, which you can find on Big Mama God and the Hazel-Eyed Monster, available at ComediaGogo.com. Or if you would like a physical copy, just send me a Facebook message, tweet me or Instagram me, slide into my DMs, and I can get you a copy there too. So once again, thank you, Carlos. We love it when you visit. Thank you so very much. Travis, talk to me outside of podcasts. You're my real friend in real life, and I love you both. And once again, this is Larry.
This is Regan.
And this is Jess.
And we'll smash you later.
Because we're going to crash you later?
Yeah, twat.
Here comes the fun! Here comes the fun!
OneOfUs.net has been your one-stop shop for all things geek for years. But there's a side to them many of you have never heard. The subscription side. Subscribe and listen to great podcasts like The Breakfast Pub, The Original Gentleman, and the Watch a Movie With Us series. Head on over to oneofus.net and don't forget your towel.